Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:13 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is January 15th, and there certainly is a lot to talk about today. Well, let's kick off with what's going on in the UK. So we can see, for example, that the pound has rallied well off its lows intraday, and it's been bouncing since the middle of December. Well, this is at least some evidence of support around the 125 area. There is still a sequence of lower rally highs. It needs to sustain a move above the trend mean to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. But the prospects of a somewhat firmer pound are improving because, generally speaking, the pound tends to go up whenever the market gets a whiff of the potential that it will remain closer to the EU than a hard Brexit may present. Well, Theresa May today lost the vote on her Brexit deal by an historic margin. There's a vote of no confidence in her government tomorrow. Well, if the Labour Party is to win that vote of no confidence, then they're going to need defections either from the Conservative Party or the DUP. And even if the Conservatives don't like Theresa May's deal, it's unlikely they're going to hand power to the Labour Party. More than any other factor, they would be castigated by their own supporters for doing that. So I think that's probably an unlikely scenario. But Theresa May is now going to have to come up with some form of solution. She's either going to have to go back to the EU and get another deal, and that looks rather unlikely. She's either going to have to reach across the House and come up with some form of agreement that could potentially pass muster in a vote in Parliament, or they're going to have to call another general election, which Conservatives would be insane to do that. So then there's also the prospect of another referendum. Any outcome does look, any one of those four outcomes, there's only one is going to ensure that the EU, or that the UK is going to leave the EU by March 31st. The other three are going to require more time. And when we look at the history of the EU, missed deadlines are nothing new. I think that it is really quite likely that the deadline is going to be missed. And that suggests that this Brexit ordeal is going to go on for somewhat longer. And there is the real prospect that we're going to have politicians out on the street campaigning again, whether that is for an election or for another referendum. The one important upshot of all of this, of course, is that confidence in the political establishment has been shaken to its roots, and that is having it's had an outside effect on the currency, but it's also having an effect on the stock market. Now, the FTSE 250 is back above the 18,000 level, and it has just about unwound its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. There's still a sequence of lower rally highs, and this is about where, if resistance is going to be encountered in the region of the lower side of that, the most recent short-term overhead range, then this is where we could anticipate it happening. It's not a particularly consistent trend, and there have been bouts of volatility previously. This one is certainly larger than any we've seen before, and it's coming from an elevated level. But if we can see the index push back above the trend mean, well, then there would be at least some basis on which to say that we've seen the lows for this advance. But I think it is too early to draw that conclusion just yet. Now, this was also an interesting day in China. The stock market was up in a reasonably robust manner, and there is increasing signs or there is an increasing sign that the Chinese administration are going to adopt a fiscal stimulus. Well, the fiscal stimulus is not going to be quite as powerful as the economic stimulus or monetary stimulus that they employed after the credit crisis. Fiscal stimulus is obviously much more aimed at the consumer. that also gives us an idea of where the focus of the administration is right now. They've done everything they can to boost the consumer economy over the course of the last decade, and now they're relying on it ever more heavily. Well, the Shenzhen B shares don't have banks, and it's more a bastion of the privately owned companies. So here we can see, for example, that it did move to a new low in December, but that wasn't sustained, and now we're getting a rebound. But there's still a rivetingly consistent progression of lower rally highs. And now the big question is whether it is going to be able to sustain a move above that 900 level and break that sequence. But the big question that has been out there on the horizon has been, where is the next source of liquidity going to come to fuel a global bull market? And the size of China's fiscal spending, in the order of $300 billion, is not insignificant. It's probably not large enough to really turn the tide of the global economy, but we're getting fiscal stimulus mounting up everywhere. So that is certainly something that's worth keeping an eye on. The other, I think, important point in here today was gold. And gold prices are relatively unchanged, but that's against a background where the dollar was reasonably steady. The more important point, though, is when we, for example, look at gold on a longer term basis and then start looking at it in other currencies. Well, it was at a new all-time high against the Australian dollar just last week, or well, 2 weeks ago. Then it's also really quite firm against the Brazilian real. When we look at it in pounds, well, the weakness of the pound has had a deleterious effect, but in terms of other assets, but not against gold, where the gold price in pounds has now broken its sequence of lower rally highs. And even against the euro, where there has been a lot of talk about the euro strengthening, the pound is now testing a previous area, excuse me, the gold price is now testing a previous area of resistance. So I think these are the perhaps the three most important things that we've seen in here today. Now, one offshoot of the move that we've seen in China has been the, or at least some evidence of renewed demand for technology shares. When we look at, for example, the NYSE FANG index, then it has rallied in here today, and it is now testing the region of its trend mean and pressuring the region of its progression of lower rally highs. So this is the biggest rally we've seen in terms of the decline that we've seen since the middle of June. When we look at some of those larger companies, I think it does behoove us to look at some of those charts. Then Google has bounced from $1,000 and now it's testing the region of its trend mean. Facebook, which led the decline in the FANG shares, has now broken its sequence of lower rally highs as it unwinds its short-term oversold condition relative to the trend mean. Amazon has also bounced, and it is coming back towards its sequence of lower rally highs. It hasn't quite been able to break that sequence just yet, but today's move is certainly encouraging. Microsoft hadn't really broken down, and it is back above its trend mean now, so that's also rather positive. Netflix is raising prices, so that is offering at least some view on how it's going to be able to pay down the rather enormous debt that it has accrued. And the share was up in rather impressive form over the course of the last few days. And this is a very significant counter-trend rally. When we look at Tesla, then it has continued to hold at the region of that $300 area, and it's pushing back up towards the upper side of its range. If we spin that out and look at some of those Chinese companies, then Alibaba has at least stopped going down, but it needs to push back above the trend mean. Baidu is one of the only big Chinese companies that has not been the subject of opprobrium from the the communist administration, and it is steadying at least from the $150 area. And Tencent had been rallying over the last few weeks to break its sequence of lower rally highs. It led on the downside last year, and now it has got some higher reaction lows, it's got higher highs, and it's testing the region of the trend mean. There is the potential that Tencent, having led on the downside, may potentially be leading on the upside. So it's certainly a share that's worth monitoring. Now, when we look at the emerging markets ETF, then it has also lost downward momentum, and we now have a higher reaction low. If it can push back above the trend mean, well, then that will be further evidence that the emerging market sector is starting to return to outperformance. The prospect of fiscal stimulus, particularly from the emerging markets, is certainly one of the things that could help to skew investor sentiment. And then you have the valuation discount. There were two graphics that really caught my attention in here today. This is the first one, and it gives us the global forward price to earnings ratio. I think the most important point is that by and large, the US, Europe, UK, Japan, and emerging markets are all below their forward PE ratios are below where they were a year ago, but also well below the average since 1990. So that's really very clearly telling us that there's been a lot of bad news has been priced in. Then there is an additional graphic that's worth looking at, and it's the pace of buybacks. So we can see, for example, that in 2018 there was record buybacks, and it clearly demonstrate just how much money was brought back into the USA as a result of the Trump tax cuts and the holiday given to or the tax holiday given to the American corporations to bring their money home. It's also worth considering that the stock market is a discounting mechanism. So the very impressive rally that we had in 2017 was largely pricing in the buybacks that were going to occur in 2018. And the pullback that we've seen recently is perhaps a much better arbiter of the downdraft that we're likely to see in buybacks in 2019, for the simple reason that that tax holiday and the repatriation of vast sums of money was a one-time event. So earnings are likely to be lower, and that's the reason that we've seen this pullback. But also, the quantity of cash available to buy back shares is not going to be as large in 2019 as it was in 2018. Well, therefore, we have this inconsistency that's evolved in the stock market. Now, we've had a very impressive counter-trend rally that's been going on since December 26th, and the S&P 500 closed above the 2600-point level in here today. So, that's rather encouraging that the market had been pausing below this level for the last four sessions, and now it is breaking above it. It's being led higher by those very large technology companies. So, that's certainly something that's worth considering, that value investors are starting to think that we've been presented with a buying opportunity, that the potential for a US recession is looking unlikely in the short term, and therefore there must be some value that has been created in terms of this pullback. Now, as long as we continue to see that you have fiscal stimulus being adopted in an increasingly large number of countries, then that is likely to provide fuel for an additional rally. So, that's certainly something that could potentially be out there on the horizon. Obviously, the index has got a lot of work to do, and the fact that it can sustain a move above 2600 points would be positive. It needs to put in a higher reaction low, and then it needs to push back above the trend mean in order to really demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Certainly, we've had a very impressive counter-trend rally. Now, the big question is what happens from here? It's, I think, a little too early just yet to sound the all clear, and the trajectory of monetary policy is going to be important because the Federal Reserve looks like it's going to continue to reduce the size of its balance sheet. What Mario Draghi was saying today is also instructive, that he does not anticipate there's going to be a recession in the Eurozone. And German growth in here today did come through on the positive side, so Germany is not in a technical recession. The DAX index, however, is still trending down, and it hasn't quite been able to push back up into its overhead trading range. The European banking sector remains in dire straits, and it's right at the lower side of its range. Well, it's still trending down in a consistent manner. There is still one range below another, and each of those ranges is relatively similar sized, and so far this has been an equal sized rally. So Europe remains one of the epicenters of risk, and perhaps it is a greater risk than China in the short term because Europe is largely constrained in terms of what kind of assistance the central bank can offer. If the ECB does not see signs of inflation and does not see the basis for a recession, then they're unlikely to add monetary assistance. And the extent to which countries can adopt fiscal stimulus is very much constrained by the austerity program. So countries are going to have to break the austerity rules in order to adopt fiscal stimulus. I think it's quite likely that countries like France and Italy are going to do that, and the German surplus is going to be eroded over the next few years as spending ramps up. India is also going to engage in some form of fiscal stimulus. Inflationary pressures are moderating, and that greatly increases the potential that the RBI will have potential to reduce interest rates. Well, if that does occur, and I think it is likely, then the Nifty index is likely to be one of the best performing indices around, not least because it doesn't have a great deal of influence from the external markets and is much more reliant on its domestic market. Of course, the potential for monetary accommodation and fiscal accommodation is very much aimed at buying the election for the BJP, and there is an election this year. So the performance of the stock market is also likely to be I think, an arbiter of sentiment towards the potential for another Modi majority. And with the Nifty in positive territory today, the rupee was in slightly negative territory. If we're going to get lower interest rates and fiscal spending, then it's unlikely that the rupee is going to trend higher. But as long as it's not trending lower, then that's likely to be a tailwind for the international community of investors that are likely to be looking on India favorably. The Indonesian, or the Jakarta Composite, was up in a rather robust fashion in here today, and it is pulling away from the region of the trend mean. And when we look at the rupiah, then it's also been steady here. So it's below, or excuse me, the dollar is below its trend mean, and this has been the most meaningful rally by the rupiah we've seen in at least the last few years. So that does suggest that Indonesia is being viewed as a potential recovery candidate in this kind of environment that we're presented with right now. Well, there is an important arbiter here that a number of the emerging markets don't have exactly the same reliance on global liquidity that has helped to inflate asset prices, particularly in the USA. PE ratios in general are lower, and debt reliance in Europe sorry, in Asia is not nearly as high as it is in other markets. So there is the potential that ASEAN is going to be turning back to a position of clear outperformance over the course of the next 12 months. And certainly we're seeing evidence of that in terms of the stock market performance. Well, the Bovespa in Brazil was in mildly negative territory today. There is a short-term overbought condition. But this rally has occurred against a background of a new reform-minded administration, and Brazil is badly in need of reform. So there is the real potential here that Brazil could also move to a position of outperformance. Now, the Mexican peso has also been rallying, and it is now testing at the. Oh, that's the wrong ticker, I'm afraid. It's now testing the dollar's sequence of higher reaction lows. So this is the point at which some questions are going to be asked about the extent to which it can continue to rally, but it has been largely range bound for nearly 3 years. So that's going to be broadly supportive for the Mexican market, that the currency is holding at what are comparative or historically at least quite weak levels. And when we look at the stock market, I've got fat fingers typing, then it has at least partially unwound its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. Well, Mexico had pulled back quite heavily because of the weakness in the oil price, and oil has staged a meaningful rebound over the course of the last few weeks. So it was in positive territory in here today, and this rally represents a really quite clear inconsistency in the downtrend since October. Think there's a strong likelihood that oil prices are going to be ranging between about 80 and 40 for the foreseeable future, but the outlook in the short term does look like we're going to see some additional upside. Natural gas prices had surged higher yesterday, and they were in negative territory in here today, and the continued rebound is very much tied to just how cold the US weather is going to be. Well, there was a rather important chart that I saw yesterday, but it was dating back from the late summer, and it showed the deficit in terms of the amount of natural gas that has been put in reserve for this winter. So that does confirm that there's not nearly enough natural gas in reserve, and when we do get colder than normal weather, it's likely that we're going to get spikes in the price. So that does suggest that for the next few months, we're going to have a very volatile environment in terms of the natural gas market. Now, when we look at feeder cattle, they've been largely range bound, whereas when we look at live cattle, then we've had an uptrend, and now the price is right in the region of the upper side of the range that's been in evidence for nearly 3 years. So this is a rather important level here. If live cattle break out, then we're back in a demand-dominated environment beyond the short term. Well, when we look at corn prices, then they've been ranging for most of the last 4 years, and they're at least testing the region of the trend mean right now. Any thawing of relationships between China and the USA is likely to include additional imports of soybeans by China, and the price is also now right in the region of the trend mean. So when we think about the commodities sector, oil prices have been rebounding, gold remains reasonably firm, the metals have also steadied. I think it would be an exaggeration to say that they're rebounding in an aggressive manner, but they've certainly steadied. And we've seen isolated patches of some renewal of demand in the soft commodities. Well, the continuous commodity index is right at the lower side of its range. And we do have potential here for a further rebound, at least for a rally back up towards the upper side of the range. As long as commodities are reasonably steady, well, that's likely to, I think, moderate the bearish outlook for China. If China does, in fact, adopt a more aggressive fiscal strategy, then that will help to support the stock market. It will also help to support the economy. And the more countries that adopt fiscal stimulus, that is likely to lead to greater liquidity. I've had a number of questions about the central bank balance sheets and the fact that this index is denominated in dollars. So I'd like to take a little bit of time to talk about how this index is compiled. Right now, we have 19.8 trillion on the balance sheets of the major central banks. And this index has been trending down since March, and it's had a rebound over the course of the last 6 weeks. Part of the reason it's rebounded has been because of the weakness of the US dollar. Each one of the balances of the various central banks is reported in their respective currency. So if the dollar weakens, it inflates the quantity of money that is sitting on those respective central banks, and then that inflates the total. So if we have more money sloshing around, if there is more money against which banks can lend, or against which the central bank can put money into the global economy, then that's a positive outcome. If, on the other hand, the dollar starts to appreciate, well, that's going to be negative because it's going to reduce the balance sheets, or the value of what's sitting on the balance sheets of global central banks, in tandem with the fact that the Federal Reserve is reducing the size of its own balance sheet. So what happens in terms of the dollar is going to be a very meaningful, it's going to have a very meaningful impact on the outlook for markets generally. Now, the dollar index was in positive territory in here today, and it is right in the region of its trend mean. I think the most clear consensus among institutional investors is that the dollar is going to weaken through the balance of this year. And I understand what the argument is, and the fact that there is an enormous amount of debt that needs to be refinanced, that we have huge quantities of corporate bonds that need to be refinanced, and that is likely to cause indigestion in the bond markets, that people will start to demand higher yields, that could be contractionary. Then you have the potential that the Federal Reserve is not going to be raising interest rates this year and could potentially start to cut them next year. Well, that's going to reduce the interest rate differential that the US dollar is enjoying, so there is the potential that the dollar could weaken from here. But against all of that, we have to consider that the USA is now an energy exporter and that oil prices are rebounding, that it's still growing better than other regions, even though growth is likely to slow, it's still looking positive. And against a background where there is a lot of uncertainty, then international investors generally tend to migrate towards big liquid currencies, and the dollar is certainly one of those. And it is bouncing from the region of the trend mean. As long as it's doing that and holding the region of the trend mean, then we have to give the benefit of the doubt to higher lateral ranging. Eventually, that trend will change. When it does, then that's probably when we should change our minds, but probably not until then. There was also a meaningful move today in the cannabis companies, and Canopy Growth Corp has rebounded rather impressively over the course of this week. Well, it was in negative territory in here today, so probably pricing in somewhat more good news than might be merited. But perhaps the more important point is that despite the fact that it has been subject to an incredible amount of volatility, that there is a clear upward bias to trading. It does look likely that at some stage the USA is going to move towards full legalization. And when that happens, some of these Canadian companies are going to be in a rather positive position, and not least because they're the subject of interest from the big tobacco companies and also some of the bigger drinks companies. There is the real potential that we're going to have cannabis-infused beverages on the menu in an increasingly large number of countries over the course of the next few years, and that is likely to be beneficial to some of these cannabis companies. But what it also helps to highlight rather acutely is that there are definitely isolated areas of the market that are doing substantially better right now, and the biotechnology sector is certainly one of those. The pace of M&A activity is picking up. The rebound that we've had in the Nasdaq biotechnology sector is certainly something that stands out very clearly on the chart, and it is now right in the region of the trend mean. There is, I think, ample potential here for a further rebound. Then when we think about the outlook for the cybersecurity sector, it's also now right in the region of the trend mean. The problem for this sector is that it's often cheaper for companies to endure a hack than it is to prevent one. Eventually that's going to change, and when it does, then the cybersecurity sector is probably going to be among the best performers, but right now it's probably more of a market perform. And when we look at the cloud computing sector, there are isolated portions of it that are doing substantially better than the mega caps, but it is now back, or the ETF at least, is back above the trend mean. So this is where we're seeing leadership in terms of the rebound that has occurred. For the broader market, we're going to have to see more. There is a growing sense on the US Congress that they're going to start targeting drug prices. That's a particular problem for the big established pharmaceutical companies. So far, that hasn't quite impacted the S&P 500 healthcare sector, and it is right in the region of the trend mean now. So if it can push back above it and hold it, well, that would be really very promising indeed. The consumer staples have had some of the better rebounds that we've seen, but yet it needs to do more, and on an index level it needs to push back above the trend mean to confirm a return to demand dominance. There's been a very clear loss of momentum over the last 3 years, and we really do need to see this index doing better from here in order to reconfirm that we're still in a demand-dominated medium-term environment. And the utilities have also been performing over the course of the last while. There is clearly some downward pressure coming through as a result of the PG&E bankruptcy. That's raising questions for the whole sector. I think that's not entirely warranted, but people are asking the questions nonetheless. There is certainly the potential for a rebound against a background of the overreaction to the PG&E bankruptcy. I think what would be much better to look at would be the kinds of companies that are likely to get downgraded. And Macy's is potentially one of those, and it was in additional negative territory in here today. Ford is probably going to flirt with whether it is in fact going to be downgraded. And there are a substantial number of these companies that have got incredible amounts of debt that are going to be the subject of potential downgrades. I think that's probably where the greatest risk lies in 2019. So when we look at what's going on in the market, there's definitely a lot of uncertainty around what's going to happen with Brexit. That's unfortunately a big topic of conversation and worry and exasperation in the UK. It's not, however, something that's likely to rattle anywhere beyond the UK and Europe. The fiscal stimulus in China is much more important from the perspective of the global economy. The fact that you have an increasing number of emerging markets going the same way is also rather encouraging. The rebound that we've seen so far in the technology sector is certainly helping to support the rebound that we've had on Wall Street, but Wall Street has had such a large inconsistency in terms of its trend that it's going to be a while before we can really conclude that the worst of the selling pressure is over. Now, I think I'd like to leave you with a word on the Treasury market. And US Treasuries are continuing to unwind their short-term overbought condition. So the yield has steadied around this 2.7% level. This is the biggest rally we've seen in terms of the downtrend since November. There is certainly the potential for an additional unwinding of the overextension relative to the trend mean. Then the big question will be whether it sustains a move below the trend mean. On the price for the 10-year Treasury future, I think 120 is going to be a big level. By the time it gets to there, that will be the lower side, excuse me, the upper side of the underlying trading range and the region of the trend mean. If this downtrend, evidenced since the middle of 2016, is going to remain intact, then it will fall through the trend mean. If not, then we will conclude that the downtrend has been broken and that we're back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment. If that is indeed the case, that's likely to contribute to quite a bit of volatility on stock markets. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.